welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
I want to talk to you, I'm going to start to you with a rather a strange little passage here in the Bible. Probably not one that you've put up on your fridge door. Probably not one you might have even noticed when you're reading. And actually, before you turn there, I just want to tell you, we really need perhaps to have a note of sympathy for these two ladies, because these two ladies made it into the Bible. Now, that sounds a good thing. But these two ladies made it into the Bible because they'd fallen out with each other. You know, how... I don't know what... You know, I know you can't have shame in heaven, but it must be a little bit irritating, to say the least, that your names are in the scriptures for all time as two ladies that had fallen out. And their names, well, they're not names that you commonly call daughters these days. Unless there's anybody here called Eudia. Is there a Eudia in the room? Or a Syntyche? Or however else she pronounced it when she was around, because nobody's quite sure how Greek was pronounced 2,000 years ago anyway. But these two ladies get St. Paul personally writing to them. So that's not so bad, except that it's about the issue that they've fallen out with one another. And let's just have a look at what's happening and what's going on here. I plead with Eudia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other. This is in Philippians chapter 4, if you're using a Bible and you want to look it up. I plead with them to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. What an obscure little passage to pick on a Sunday morning. Well, I want to tell you that this, for me, is one of the most exciting passages in the whole Bible. And I want to tell you why. I mean, I'm sure there are others, but this morning, this is my favorite. And I want to tell you why. And it's because you've got the highest aims and you've got an example of how we're all just ordinary human beings. Because of having said what I just said about these two women, and I love the fact it's two women in the Bible being lifted up, not just that they're arguing, but that Paul is saying, these are my fellow workers. We've been working together for the cause of the gospel. All right? And this is why I love it, because he's including everybody. And yeah, these two women have fallen out. They've had an argument. And I love that, because it's in here. This is why this book is so brilliant. Because it takes people who are real, and it doesn't sort of paint a nice little whitewash so that we've got some superhero Jesus that flies around with red underpants on the right outside. You know, someone that we couldn't possibly follow. Heroes and people in the Bible that are just so high up there, you get so depressed. These are ordinary people. Anybody ever had an argument? If not, come to see me afterwards and we'll practice. Because I bet you have. And if you tell me you haven't, I'll tell you you have. Yeah, you've had an argument. We all get into stuff that's falls from the perfection that God's put us in. But Paul knows the reality is we have a cause. He says in this love, and I just like the passage, I'll help these women who have contended, struggled, it says in some editions, contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. It was later that women started to be put down. It was later that women were stopped from preaching. It was later on that women weren't thought acceptable to be leaders. The first century church was an incredibly radical movement. And Jesus was incredibly radical. I mean, he sat by the woman at the well and chatted with her. Not only was she sort of from the Samaritans, who they shouldn't have been talking to anyway, regardless of whether they were men or women. He was talking to someone, a woman, in the middle of the day where everybody could see it, where everybody would have said, that is shameful, that is wrong. But he was bringing in a counterculture that was to change the world so that they could see, so that the people around could see what God was truly like. And Paul had got the vision of Jesus. Some people say, oh, what about all this, you know, he says, some women be silent in church and all that stuff. No, you really read into it. You see that he is actually promoting women in the church. That whole passage is about men. Come on, you get on fire. Get your hands in the air and pray, because the women are already doing it. They're already dominating you. And he's trying to say to the women, look, give the men a chance. Because women have been set free in the new Christianity that was happening, free from the bondage that was keeping them restricted. And so they were rising up, and the men were sort of going, ooh, okay, then you do it. I'll cook the dinner. It was a cause. We've been laboring for the cause, for the gospel. And we are living today for a cause, for a happening, for a mission, yeah. for a purpose, yeah. for a movement.
Yeah.
All right? We are a next generation that's doing something here and now. Yeah. It started 2,000 years ago, but in every generation, God recalls a people to say, to stand up and be the counterculture to their time with Jesus Christ at the head of it. Amen. We're not supposed to be quiet little people that go to an obscure little church and don't do anything. We're supposed to be right in the middle of our community saying, this is the way, come and walk in it. The kingdom of heaven is right at hand. You want to see Jesus? Come and talk to me. You say, that's a bit arrogant, isn't it? Well, doesn't Jesus live in me? Does Jesus live in you? Well, how else is anybody going to see Jesus then unless they come to you? This is why we're here as always so excited when a whole new bunch of young people move into this town. Because you're not here by accident. All right, you've got to hear from God what he wants you to do while you're here. He is preparing you for life. You're going to get different practical skills at university. But you're not just here to get a job later on. You're here because you are part of a cause, part of a movement. If you're following Jesus Christ, you are in the most radical, world-transforming movement that there has ever been. And we get excited here whenever anybody new comes along because it's somebody else to fight for the cause, to contend, as Paul says here, to struggle, to go on. And yeah, okay, we might shout at one another or fall out now and then. But that's not the point. The point is we come back together. We learn to love one another. You can't love one another unless you've fallen out with one another. Do you know that? If you've never ever argued with one another, there's something wrong in the way you love one another. Because you've never truly expressed what you felt. Because there are times when you are selfish and emotional and it just needs to get out. And then you can repent. Some of you are thinking, oh, I'm good at this. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's why this passage is so good. In the cause of the gospel, he's got Clement and the rest of his fellow workers with him, whose names are written in the Lamb's book of life. All right? Jesus has got a book. All those who are spending eternity with him are written in that book. If you've surrendered your life to him, if you've given your life to Jesus, if you say, I want to go your way, your name is written in the book. And if you haven't, it's not. You say, that's a bit rough. I said, well, it's just what it says. You know, if I water it down, I'm doing you a disservice. I'm not allowing you the opportunity to get your name written in the book. And if your name is written in the book, then you're ready to fight for a cause, to contend for a cause, to struggle for a cause, to be a generation that changes the way this world, this country, this little town of Scarborough even lives. We've got something good. Amen. Most of you are awake. Hallelujah. Now, you see, it's traditional that when you get a nice group of people come to your church, you go and give them a pat on the back and you love them and you tell them, you know, you're awesome and you're brilliant. Well, you're all of that. But I tell you, you're here to die. Okay, you're here to die. We have Brian and... good, you're still here. We have Brian and Shona here, and they have the weirdest title in leadership you have ever heard. They are called the Sheep Gate Directors. I mean, what is that? All right, what is that? Well, I tell you where it comes from. There's a gate in Jerusalem that's called the Sheep Gate. Okay, you know Jerusalem, where the temple was in the days before Jesus. And it was where the sheep from Bethlehem were brought up to the town of Jerusalem. They went through this gate and into the temple where they were sacrificed. They died. All right, their blood was spilt on the altar. It was prophetic of what was to happen. One day in Bethlehem would be born a small baby who was the Son of God, who would be led in the course of his life from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem, where he would be sacrificed. And his blood was enough for us all forever. Amen. But there's a little bit of a twist in the tale. Because if you want to avail yourself of that blood, just to use some Christianese for a minute, if you want that to count, you've got to die too. You've got to die to self. And so they're the Sheep Gate Directors because they're here to welcome people. They're here to try and make sure, you know, there's a lot of people here. It's easy sometimes for people to feel that they're dropping off the edge. And they're here to help people become part of the body. That's what they do. But also they're here to take people to the altar and plunge the knife into their chest. To say, we're not living for ourselves. We're living for Jesus Christ. We're not here just to have a great time. We're going to have a great time. In our vision that played in the church, the last sentence says, and just have great fun. But we're here for a cause. We're here for a purpose. We're here for a belief. We're here for a conviction. We're here for an object. We're here for an end. We're here for an aim. We're here for a purpose. We're here for action.
Yes.
Amen. Anybody with me on that one?
Yes.
I looked up the word cause in the dictionary. And the verb cause is really interesting because there's lots of action involved. It means to bring about, to give rise to lead to result in, to create, to produce, to generate, to engender, to spawn, to bring on, to precipitate, to prompt, to provoke, to trigger, to make happen, to induce, to inspire, to promote, to foster, to beget, and to kindle. I think it's good to be part of a cause.
Yeah.
Sounds like something is going to happen.
Right.
Amen. Well, something already is happening. And I plead with you, like Paul pleaded with Eutychia and Syntyche, or whatever her name was, put your differences aside. Okay, these are the days of relationship, the church learning to relate to one another. There is only one church in this town. All right, and that is the people that follow Jesus Christ. There are some excellent churches in this town. You guys get plugged in where you know you're going to grow, where you're going to get challenged, and you're going to come out different. You want people you can follow that'll take you on. And there's churches in this town that'll do that. Great churches. There's Ebenezer Baptist, Scarborough Christian Fellowship, St. Mary's, Holy Apostles, and many others. Okay? Get somewhere you think, this is where I'm going to grow. This is where God has planted me while I'm living in this town. All right? That's really, really important because you won't grow unless you've got good roots. Doesn't mean we can't do stuff together. Of course you can because there's only one church. But be where you can grow. All right, I'm afraid that here, apart from the purple seats, we're not very good at making you comfortable. Because comfortable people sit back and have a cup of coffee and don't do very much. Jesus wasn't like that. He never drank coffee. But he did churn 12 jars of water into wine, so he knew how to party. Anyway. So I plead with you, like Paul pleaded with Eutychia and Syntyche, put aside your differences between one another in the different churches and traditions and things we have, and recognize that we are one together in Christ, and we are here for a cause.
Yeah.
We might have different ways of doing bits and pieces. We might even strongly, we don't want to start hitting one another, we might strongly disagree on some theological point. But what we have together is far greater. You know, what we have together is far bigger. All right, even the early church, coming straight from Jesus, they started to have things they didn't quite agree on. But more important to them was that they were one body, one church, the followers of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, see why it's a good passage? You didn't know it was, did you? You see? You might even put it on your fridge door now. You get some odd looks if you do. Why have you got that bit about Eutychia and Syntyche? Anyway, I want to be part of something. I am part of something. And I know we are together here that does this verb cause. All right, how about we are a people that bring about something new in a town, that give rise to a new movement of God in this nation. All right? That are doing things that lead to action, that result in. I don't want prayer meetings anymore. And we don't have many here like that, praise God. But I don't want prayer meetings anymore that don't cause something to happen. But what's the point in just having a prayer time unless something is happening, either directly or in the spiritual realm? I got really, really excited recently about the week of prayer and fasting that we had at the beginning. We sort of start our church year in September because the church was planted in September 3 years ago. And so we have a time of prayer and fasting just before that, sort of to seek the Lord and hear from God. And one of the things that got me really excited was one of the boards that Joanne put back together and put up on the wall. And it was a prayer board that we did, not this year, but the year before. And it had notable leaders in our town on it. It had people like Robert Goodwill, the MP, and Councillor Tom Fox, the leader of the council. And it referred to people like the chief of police and the CEO of the Scarborough Council and people like that, leaders in the town who we were praying for. Okay, and you think when we met and we prayed for him, you know, maybe you were one of the ones that stood around that board and just prayed, come on, God, we need to see something happen. And I looked at the board and thought, in the past year, I've met every single person on that board. And most of them have my telephone number. Isn't that weird? Well, if we're here for a cause, we've got to be people of influence. And if we're going to be people of influence, we've got to meet the people and influence the people who already have influence. There isn't another way. If you look at the ministry of St. Paul, and he's a pretty good one to get an example from, he went to the top. He went to the leaders in his community. I'm not saying you don't reach out across the whole community, but you don't ignore the ones who are already the influencers. Go back 1,500 years in this area when you had all the different kingdoms around, and the Celtic Christians came from Ireland to Scotland and then down the coast into our area. What did they do? They went for the rulers in the kingdoms, so that the ruler would then have a massive influence on all the people. King Oswald was one of the early Christian kings in this area. He's even called Saint Oswald. He did some dodgy stuff, but he also, because of the way he was, many people became Christians. All right, they went for the top. Often it got them killed, but that's another story. So this is a cool passage. You know, read it again and think, I'm part of the course. What am I doing today that's changing the area I'm in? I don't care whether you're in the room next door and only 6 years old. You're still here for a cause. I don't care if you're in this room and you're 86 years old. You're here for a cause. There's no too young and no too old in the kingdom. All right? And we're here together. You know, we're here to work together, to be together, to relationship together. That means sometimes we have to do things perhaps in the way that isn't our most favorite. You know, I don't want all the worship to sound like 70s rock. Most of you wouldn't. Other people want something that sounds a bit more 21st century. You know, we're doing what we want. We're doing what we believe God wants for us as a people. And it's never going to be exactly how we want. Some people want it quieter. Some people want it louder. Some people want more flashing lights. I'd just like one. But that's in that next building. Hallelujah. It's called a summit offering, by the way, not a building offering. And I tell you why it's a summit offering. Because if you read your Bibles, you'll find that people met with God at the summit. So it's a giving into the opportunity to see people meet with the Lord in our town and our region. It's not just an offering to see something happen in a building. It's an offering to see our regions change. It's an offering to see a cause happen. Okay, we called in on the way back yesterday from Sussex. The first church we planted, Elohim Church, in the Midlands, and they'd just got their new building, you know, and it was exciting to be there. But they've got that building because they're changing their area, and already it's helping them have a greater influence. Whatever you think of buildings, we live in a building culture. Okay, we could meet on the beach throughout the winter, but it might cause a few issues, especially at high tide, yeah. But we're a generation that's moving forward. I looked at Ed Miliband's speech at the Labour conference the other day because he was talking about next generation. I thought, that's interesting. David Cameron's always on about something new. They're fairly young men. Well, Ed's 40. Dave Cameron is 43, I think. And they keep talking about moving something into the next generation, doing something new. I think politicians are leaders. I think they're hearing in the spirit something that God wants to do. I don't think they're necessarily going to do it the way God wants it to happen, but they are hearing. But that's not their fault. If they do it in a way God doesn't want, that's the church's fault. That's our responsibility to communicate what a great message we have. That's why we go on the streets as street angels. We can't just sit in our comfortable chairs and tell people what they should do. We've got to go out there and help. We've got to go out there and make a difference. I don't know what, for most of you, it's probably the first time you've heard about it, but have a quick think. Come along for a week or two. See if you can be involved with Street Angels or Youth Angels. Street Angels, you go out once a month on a Friday or a Saturday night from 10 o'clock at night through to 2:30 in the morning. After you've been trained and equipped with a team so that you're safe, we've got radios so that you've got contact with the CCTV. We work with the police. And we go out on the streets because we want to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we can't just stand on a street corner and preach. Talk to people about the church and they'll think about paedophile priests. That's the most popular issue to do with the church now. We've got to do something to change how people see the gospel. And the gospel is one of an establishing of a kingdom of Jesus. So we've got to go out there and show them what that looks like. It's about people who care. It's about people who love. It's about people who want to show the way to Jesus Christ himself. And that's what we're about. So some of you guys, you won't have had the opportunity much to hear about it. You might want to join that. Youth Angels hasn't started yet. This will be the first lot of training for that. And that will go out on a Friday or a Saturday. We're not quite certain yet. Probably a Friday initially, but earlier in the evening, probably from about 7 till 10, to go and engage with young people in our town. They're not here today. They're never going to be here today unless we go out and meet them where they are today. You know, and there's issues in the town with drinking and stuff like that as well. So we can be part of our town's initiative to help people come into a different way of thinking. Lives are getting ruined by alcohol. Lives are being destroyed by alcohol. You know? Well, we can't just point the finger and say, look at that lot getting drunk, they're destroying their lives, without doing something to help them see there's another way. There's something else they can do. And if along the way we can teach them what responsible drinking is, well, we might save their life for long enough for them to get saved. You know? But you've got to go out there. We've got to meet with them. We've got to engage with them. Praise the Lord. This is a cause. Are you part of the cause? Are you part of the movement? Are you part of the purpose? Are you part of the action? As we get the new summit building, there's going to be so many things to do. Are you going to be part of what's happening? What are you doing with what you have now to make a difference? I could give you an easy message. I could tell you you're all lovely. But I'm not. Ed Miliband, this is how he rounded up his speech, because actually I think it was quite good for us. That's a few things I would look at slightly differently to him. This is how he finished his speech to the Labour Party conference last week. Let us understand the need to change. Sounds good to me. I think there's a nation that needs to hear that. He might not have fully understood what we're talking about. Maybe he does. He's got a Jewish heritage. Who knows? Let's inspire people with our vision of the good society. Let's inspire people with our vision of the good kingdom. Come on, we've got to inspire people, not badger them into becoming Christians. Not repent, 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 you sinner. Let's inspire them to see there's something worth living for. Come on. It's okay, by the way, to say yes or even no. Come alive. They all go away thinking, oh my goodness, I've even got to go to his house for dinner. Let's inspire people with our vision of the good society, Ed Miliband said. We say the good kingdom. Let the message go out. Yeah. Come on. A new generation has taken charge. Yeah. He said of Labour, but we'll ignore that bit. A new generation has taken charge. There is a new generation of Christians in this nation that's rising up and saying, actually, we are kings and priests and we're going to make a difference. Hallelujah. We're not going to be badgered by political correctness or anything else that's going on into some little corner to be the sort of little holy remnant that's clinging on until Jesus comes back. We're going out there so that when Jesus comes back, he finds us on the streets with the needy and the poor and the people that need him. Amen. Hallelujah. This is something worth living for. Hallelujah. I don't know if he put it quite like that. Let the message go out. A new generation has taken charge. I never thought I would quote from a politician's speech at a party political conference. But I thought, this is good. I like this, Ed. Hallelujah. I'm not sure I'm coming in from the same direction as you, but I like your words. And I'm not promoting you that you've got to vote Labour before anybody gets on their high horse. I'm just looking at what a leader in our country is doing. Let's take the message out. A new generation has taken charge so we can be optimistic about our country. Yeah. We've got to stop talking the nation down. We need to start talking it up. We need to start giving hope. We need to give vision. We need to show them that there's an answer. Sometimes the Christians on TV are the worst. They say, oh, it's going down. You know? And we need a bit more. Maybe words would be better. But we're here optimistic. Well, of course we're optimistic. We know what happens at the end, and it's good. Well, for those whose names are written in the Book of Life. Optimistic about our world. Optimistic about the power of politics. Maybe not that one. Or maybe it is. I want to see more Christians in politics. I want to see more Christians making a difference in our nation. They've got to be in there with the leaders. We're not all called to be politicians. We're not all called to be street angels. We're not all called to be church leaders. But we are all called. And we all have a purpose. And we all have a destiny. Okay? We're going to read a little bit more scripture in just a minute, just to finish off, that shows you what this cause is that you're part of. But before that, we're doing the gospel according to Ed Miliband. I'll tell you what I am optimistic about, the power of God. Yes. Amen. Because I know we have access to the full power of the resurrection. How about we get that power on the world? I think that's a good reason to be optimistic. When we see people healed and lives being changed, that's a good reason to be optimistic. You know? Hallelujah. Praise God. He watched us go through it this year, in a way, with Kate not being well. All right? Kate was saying that this week when we were just talking that she was just at rest with the Lord. There's a position beyond striving where you're just at rest with what God has said. So the strange thing about this cause, the strange thing about these people who are people of action and purpose and intent, is actually that we're at rest and secure in our God and what he's doing. Amen? She got the news this week, by the way, that she's completely clear of cancer. God's good. But we were clapping just as loudly last week. Hallelujah. This is a cause worth fighting for. You know? A year ago, not quite a year, in January time, was when we were told by a surgeon, well, your cancer's not operable. We'll give you chemo first. He didn't sound that optimistic, but then he did because he was a professional. But you've seen us walk through it. You know that all we did was say, we'll be at rest with him. Come on, we've got something to live for. We've got a cause. We've even got something to die for. Hallelujah. We are optimistic. Oh no, sorry. It's ended. His last line was, we are the optimists and together we will change Britain. I think we need the church getting this vision. You know, maybe you're from another nation as well. We're here for the world. He said optimistic about the world. Our call is to the world. But we want to see our towns changed. All right? You're here from Leeds today. We want to see Leeds changed. We want to see York changed. We want to see Whitby changed. We want to see our nation changed. And we are here to see a world changed. Scarborough is the center of the universe for us. It is. Because the creator of the universe is here with us. And don't let anybody tell you different. Hallelujah. We will change Scarborough, Whitby, Birmingham, London, Plymouth, Inverness. We will. Because we're a people that know that Jesus Christ is Lord. We're here for a cause. We're fellow workers together. This is a team. This is the worst time of the week to show that this is a team because you're sitting there and I'm here. But the rest of the week, we do it all together. This is nothing. This is not the most important time of the week, except that without this, we wouldn't be such an effective team. This is just my job in the team. Now, everybody else's job is just as important. Everybody else's part is just as key. That was the end of his talk. I also wanted to give you a quote that I did at Faith Camp and I did here before is a guy called Hugh Latimer. You might have heard of him. He was one of what's called the Oxford Martyrs because they were martyred in Oxford. And the other two were Nicholas Ridby and Thomas Cranmer. But he was about to be burned at the stake in the reign of Queen Mary in the 16th century because he'd been one of the most progressive people, particularly under the king before him, King Edward, the boy king. And they'd seen enormous changes in the church. It was about getting people to read their Bibles, because before that, only priests could read them, and they interpreted them to the people. And the move of God that had happened under Edward particularly was about getting people to read the word. But that was against the tradition of Mary, and so she clamped down on it with all her advisors and everything else. I mean, it's more complicated than all that, but we're not going into that much history this morning. But Hugh Latimer was a hero of the faith. He knew he had a cause. Nicholas Ridley was his friend. He had a purpose. He wanted to see the people of England living for God. And so they were due to be burnt at the stake. And the quote I'm going to give you, I don't know if some of you remember it, in some ways it makes me laugh because it sounds so English. But behind it, you hear this absolute determination to see the nation changed beyond their death. Because you're not even here to see the nation changed just in your lifetime. What you do now changes it for the next generations. And when they died, something was sealed in the spirit because this nation did change. This nation did move again away from the state that it got itself into at that time under the Catholic Church. And it became free. I'm not saying Catholic is bad in any means. The Catholic Church in this town is great and there's many people alive for God there. But it was under the sway of many corrupted men at that time. And this is what he said to his friend Nicholas Ridley. Be of good cheer, Master Ridley. I mean, they're going to the stake to be burned. Be of good cheer, Master Ridley, and play the man. Yeah, if you've got one day where a tear might come down your cheek, it's the day you're due to be burnt at a stake. If there's one day when you can look a little bit scared, it will be the day you're going to be turned into beef. Well, roast pork, more like. It's horrible, but, you know, this is the context of this quote. Be of good cheer, Master Ridley, and play the man, for we shall this day light such a candle. He means we're going to burn. We shall light such a candle in England as I trust by God's grace shall never be put out. He was living and dying for a cause that he knew was beyond just him. And that's what Christ has called you here this morning to hear. This is a rousing morning. This is a come on church morning. Hallelujah. Put it in the context, if you've been here, of all the grace we've been hearing to. You do this with grace. God enables us to do this. We can't do it because we're suddenly strong. We do it because of what Christ has done for us. All right, and that's what we're going to finish with. All right, give me 5 more minutes. Are you ready? Over to Ephesians 1. You could preach on this for several hours, but we're just going to look at Ephesians 1 and then finish. Here we go. This is Paul the Apostle, early Christian leader, writing to the Christians that live in the town called Ephesus, and so they're called the Ephesians, which is why this book's called the Ephesians in the Bible. And he's writing them to encourage them of what God has already done for them. So, okay, he's writing to people who already know the Lord. And if you don't know the Lord here this morning, you can come to know him. That's the good news. Whoever you are, God has chosen you. Whatever you've done, God has chosen you. Whatever you've messed up in, God has got a higher purpose for you. He's the God of new beginnings. All right? We were listening to a talk on the car on the way up yesterday. Our Satan is the God of endings. And Jesus is the God of new beginnings. Satan tries to bring an end to your health. Satan tries to bring an end to your marriage. Satan tries to bring an end to anything that's good in your life. And you might be here this morning and maybe your marriage did end. But Jesus is the God of new beginnings. It might not have been God's plan. You might have known it was totally wrong. Maybe it was even you that initiated it. by now, God forgives you. And you need a new beginning with Jesus. He never writes anyone off. Whatever you have done or not done, he's there for you. And this is the beginning he gives you. Praise be, says Paul, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, not will do, notice, has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You're not begging God to get the good stuff. He's given it. Like I mentioned earlier, the waterfall is already pouring. You've just got to go and stand underneath it. A lot of people, a lot of Christians are standing nearby and getting sprinkled. They get wet a bit because they're near the blessing. Even some people who are not Christians get blessed because they're near the blessing. It's given with freely. It's given with favor. All right? But to actually move into the fullness of it, you have to go and stand under the waterfall. How do you do that? You get hold of the word of God and you start declaring it over your life. Why have I been speaking? We're here for a cause all morning. Because I'm speaking it over us as a people, because I believe it, because I know it, and we're going to see it increasingly that we are influencing the people around us. Because I want to see people saved, bottom line. I want to see lives turned around, bottom line. I want to see people set free from alcohol and from drugs. And I want people who've got thoroughly nice lives to get saved. Hallelujah. I want wealthy people to discover Jesus. We need to see doctors and nurses and businessmen and counselors and people of significance realizing that Jesus is for them. We need to see people who have nothing, who are struggling, see Jesus is for them. Amen. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting distracted. Stop it. It's your fault. He has blessed us with every spiritual realm for, look at this verse, come on. Do you believe your Bibles? You know, do you believe, you might feel differently, but this has been around longer than you. So I'd trust this if I were you. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Before the world was created, God chose Rob and said there's going to come a day when he's in Scarborough. And at that time, he's going to be on fire for God, drumming in the church and making a difference, all while being prepared for greater and bigger things. But he knew. He was chosen for a purpose. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. Isn't that awesome? Just think, before anything was created, God knew about you. You weren't an afterthought. You didn't get saved, and Jesus turned to the Father and said, oh, what are we going to do? Eileen's given her life to the Lord. I never thought she'd do that. You didn't, but he did. He already knew. He knew the exact moment it would happen. He made sure the right people were there at the right time, that she would be given the full opportunity to respond to him. And she did. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. And he didn't just choose us, but he chose us to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's something he does to us. We can't make ourselves holy. We certainly can't make ourselves blameless. But he does it. In this, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Whether you're a girly or a boily, you are adopted as his son. Okay? In your sex, you may be a daughter of the Lord or a son of God. But in the position that you have with the Lord, you are his adopted son. More than that, you are his adopted firstborn son, because the firstborn son receives the whole inheritance. Again, there is neither male nor female, Paul writes in another place. This gospel is as radical today as it was then. People think that feminism has been invented in the last 100 years or so, with people chaining themselves to railings at the beginning of the last century. God created Adam and Eve equal. He His message of equality is throughout the whole Bible. Equal but different. We work in different ways. If you don't believe that, you've never met anybody of the opposite sex. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons in accordance with his pleasure and will to the praise of his glorious grace. You're in the church to God's glory. You make God look good. All right, you are cool. God looks at you and says, wow, I like it when that person is around because I look good. We need to get this into our noggins. We don't make God think, oh, goodness, if they see her on the street, what's going to happen to my name? He sees you walking down the street and he says, ah, that's my son. That's my child. Wow, don't they look good? And what's more, they're making me look good. Yeah, because I made them and they look good. Oh, I like what they're doing. Oh, they've been listening to that cause message and they believe they're going to make a difference. You see that, Jesus? Yeah, I see that, Dad. They're enjoying you. They're loving you. You are not just here for a cause. You are champions of the cause. All right? We're all champions. We're all awesome. Regardless of how God is calling us and what we're doing, God has made us for awesomeness. This worship team up here, they're awesome. Not just because they play great, but because God has chosen them. They're all individually champions. They've heard the call for the cause and they're doing what God has given them to do for the best. You know, most of them, that's just part of what they do. It's no coincidence that loads of the worship team are street angels. They're giving their lives to the cause. What are you giving your life to? EastEnders? X Factor's back on? What are you sowing into every day? What have you sown into? What are you going to sow into tomorrow that's going to bring a harvest? X Factor Extra? ITV 2 plus 1 or whatever it will be, it'll be there somewhere. Because Simon Cowell has a mission and a cause to dominate the world with mediocre worship. No, sing songs. No. I'm just teasing, Simon. Don't sue me. Okay, let's just get back to this because I've got to finish and we're going to go home and live for a cause. Trouble is, as I said, it's just so much. In him we have redemption through his blood. We touched on that earlier. That means you've been bought. You belong to God. No one else can have you. Anybody, anything, anyone else is making a claim on your life, sin, even alcohol, drugs, bad language, sex, whatever it is, if anything else is trying to make a call on your life, it doesn't belong. You've been bought. You've been bought for holiness. Oh, I wish I could go on. I mustn't. What should I finish with? I'm just going to finish with this bit. In him, we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. In order that we were the first to hope, he's referring to himself, might be for the praise of his glory, and you also were included. You are for the praise of his glory. You are here for a cause to make God look good. When God looks at you, he thinks, that person is wonderful because I made them. And you might have had a dramatic ending in your life. You might have had a dramatic failure in your life. Or you might be doing very nicely. But Jesus is the God of new beginnings. And I'm telling you, the church, we the church in the nation, certainly Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, certainly the church in Scarborough, this is a new beginning. This is a new generation. Yeah, Ed Miliband may have spoken those words to the Labour Party, but we're speaking them ourselves now. I'm going to finish with his words. I wasn't going to do that. Say, oh, you should finish with the Word of God. This is the Word of God to us today, because it's totally consistent with everything it says in there. Are you ready for this? Because then we're going to finish. Are you going to go out with something, or just having had your ears tickled? Are you going to go out that door today, maybe to get your cup of coffee or your biscuit? Or maybe you're going to help clear up? Are you going to do that thinking, I'm part of a cause and I make God look good? Or are you just going to go out and miss it again? I'm not saying you missed it before. I don't mean it like that. It's your choice. Always a choice with God. He lays it before you and says, this is yours. So here's Ed's words. Let us understand the need to change. Let us inspire people with our vision of the good kingdom. Let the message go out. A new generation has taken charge. Optimistic about our country, optimistic about our world, optimistic about the power of God. We are the optimists, and together we will change Britain. Amen. Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.